Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes discouraged, but not defeated. Cast down, but not destroyed. There are times I don't understand, but I believe it's turning around for me. I've had struggles and disappointment. There are times I felt so alone. Some of my friends say, let me down, but I still believe it's turning around for me, around for me,
around for me, around for me,
it's turning around. I can see the breaking.
I can see the breaking of day.
God is
making a way. Change is coming for me.
If I stay strong.
If I stand strong and believe.
There's no reason to doubt.
I know he's working it out.
And it's turning around. The good news. It won't always be like this. The Lord will perfect that concerning me. And sooner or later, turn in my favor.
Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. God bless you. I am Apostle Shalene Cook, and it truly blesses my soul to welcome you all here for another installation of Wounded No More for this Thursday, May 11th or 12th, 2022. Now, I would like to present to some and introduce to others the anointed servant leader and host of Wounded No More, Pastor Vanessa Carver. Amen.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wounded No More. Tonight, we are going to be talking about, even though I'm the only one talking, but literally it's just a conversation that we can have with each other or with someone else. A lot of times when I present the word, it is always to edify, exhort, and to comfort. That's a prophetic element of everything that God has led me to do with this program. And I just thank God for great leadership and inspiration all around me in my life, this ministry and other ministries that have been a big element, a big part of what God has poured into me. Tonight, I'm coming out of Hebrews 12. And really, if I had more time or just, this is for another show, faith, that's Hebrews 11, what precedes that book. But this scripture was really highlighted to me this week as I was dealing with things in my soul, you know, areas of my will, my mind, and my emotions. And many times God has led me to be transparent because usually what one person is going through in the body of Christ, somebody else has gone through or is going through. And that is why from time to time you'll hear me be transparent, even though my struggles may be for different reasons or my growth or challenges may be different than yours. We serve the same God and we all need to submit to his purposes and will. And one of the reasons why I share is because I don't want people to ever feel like they are alone. You are not alone in what you're going through or what God is dealing with you about, but it's really to make you all who he has called you to be in every shape, form, or fashion. It is to make you equipped for ministry and to also just make you more blessed and more, blessed and full of joy and happy and renewed and restored. There's so many awesome reasons why God does what he does. And the more that we read his word, we begin to understand the grand design of it all and how it is a powerful, mighty thing, because that's who God is. He's mighty. He's powerful. He's sovereign. He's loving. He's faithful. He's kind. And the list goes on and on. But tonight we're going to talk about coming out of Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Specifically, this came out to me because of some things that I was struggling with. And I just kept hearing this as I'm driving to work. I just kept hearing the scripture. And he said, when you get to work, write it down. So I carry a journal in my bag. And I wrote it down and continued to work throughout the day. As I finished work, it still came to me. Look up that verse and begin to look at it. Let it minister to you in these places where you're feeling less than. And so I begin to read. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and those witnesses are referring to chapter 11 and all the different fathers and mothers of faith, who by faith they testify to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness, stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us. Let us run with endurance and active persistence, the race that is set before us, looking away from all that will distract us, focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith, the first incentive of our belief, and the one who brings our faith to maturity, who for the joy of accomplishing the goal set before him endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, revealing his deity, his authority, and the completion of his work. Now, that's in the Amplified Bible. And that's just verse 1 and 2. There's a lot of good stuff packed in that. And I'm only going to pull out some of those elements tonight. And then in the Common English Bible, it says, so then, with endurance, let us also run the race that is laid out in front of us. Since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let's throw off extra baggage and get rid of the sin that trips us up and fix your eyes on Jesus, faith pioneer and perfecter. He He endured the cross, ignoring the shame for the sake of the joy that was laid out in front of him, and he sat down at the right side of God's throne. Okay, I'm going to tell you the things that God was having me highlight, the weight and the sin that so easily besets you. So that's what I was hearing driving to work. That's what I was hearing after I got out of work. He said, lay aside the sin and the weight that so easily entangles you. And I love how the Amplified says it. And it talks about these things that distract you. You need to strip them off in every any unnecessary way. And the sin which entangles you, the hindrance, the burden, the distraction, the offense, whatever it is, he said, lay it aside. Strip it off. These things are getting in the way of how you're believing God or not believing God. A couple of months ago, I taught about unbelief and coming out of one of the Gospels about the man whose daughter, he asked Jesus to heal his daughter. And the man said, you know, God, you know, Jesus began to tell him, you know, I'm healing your daughter now. Your daughter is healed. He said, you know, go. And then he's like, you know, Lord, I want to believe, but help my unbelief. Like, and so I begin to take that apart. And I need to revisit that again, because when I taught that that lesson that day, that blessed my soul, because I was dealing with, you know, some areas in my life where that unbelief was just, you know, there, and it shouldn't have been there, especially if it's something that's old. But I feel like when things go hand in hand, anything that strips you from focusing on God, when God is saying go forward, there are things that I want to talk about the weight, and then I want to talk about the sin, okay? So the weight, and I looked it up, and it's a Greek word, ogos, but that's not why I looked it up, so I can impress you with what the Greek word means, but then I can be able to understand and break down the meaning of it. It says burden and hindrances. How many things in our lives do we allow to get our attention? How many things do we take on false burdens that don't belong to us? How many times do we take on other people's problems and other people's issues? And how many times do we take on the past, our past, and sometimes someone else's past, and try to handle it or try to deal with it? Your past is in the past, and somebody else's past is in the past. And these are the weight. Anything that's weighty that God didn't give you a burden for, because you hear people say that a lot. And I truly believe that God does give us burdens for certain things. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the things that we entangle ourselves with, that we become entrapped in and lured into. God is saying traps and snares. These are the things that snare you and entangle you. Lay that aside. What is that in your life? You don't have to answer me, but that is a rhetorical question that I just want to put right there out on the mat. I just want you to say, what is that weight? If you do have a weight, maybe that's not your issue. Maybe it's sin. I'm not done talking about weight, though, because I really want to try to thoroughly define what a weight could be and how it can really harm us and distract us and get us off track from really walking in faith and trusting God, when we should focus on him and focus on his ways of doing things, knowing that if you are an athlete, and I used to run track all through middle school and a little bit of high school, and so I wasn't very good in my opinion, but I did understand the routine and discipline of an athlete and things that they made us do and how they told us to run. And one of the things is you can't be distracted and run. You definitely can't be distracted and win a race and you looking all behind you, or you worried about, you know, things that you got to be focused on how you're running. You need to be focused on your form. I know I used to get in a lot of trouble with my form. My form was not right, which is a lot of times why I didn't win or I couldn't run in certain races, because my form was sloppy. It was all over the place. Now, even if I was fast, and I would have been even faster if my form was right, if I was focused on doing it and being disciplined in my body. And the weight, when we allow the cares of this life, the things that we need to give to God and should have given to God a long time ago, get in our thought processes, distract us, and sometimes makes us heavy. Sometimes it makes us, you know, depending on what it is, it can really get you off track. You over here, and God says, I need you and all your faculties over here. That means your will, your mind, and your emotions. Everything in your soul should be over here, but you all the way over here. You're allowing yourself to get entangled in things that I have cut. And for some of us, he's cut you off from that, and you allow yourself to go back and get entangled in it. Now, I'm not the one that can discern what it is that you're entangled with. That's a conversation that you need to have with the Lord. If that is your issue, if you feel like something is weighing you down unnecessarily, if you're losing sleep, if you feel like you're going backwards, if you feel like, you know, you are carrying dead weight, and that's one of the, actually one of the definitions, they were saying dead weight. If you feel like I shouldn't be doing this, are you doing, first of all, are you doing things in your own strength? Are you leaning to your own understanding? Are you trusting your own abilities and your own experiences or somebody else's versus God's? These things that may not have been weights will turn into weights. And next thing you know, you feel like you're entangled. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's your perception about a job or about promotion or about a career or about your education or about a ministry. Those things in themselves are not necessarily weights, but how you're handling them, they'll entangle you. And GPS your faith. I've been using that term for years. God gave me that. He said, GPS your faith. Where is your faith? Are these entanglements, kind of like making your faith smaller than it should be? By now, it should have been developed in certain areas, and you realize still at the same stage. Why don't I have no faith? Now, I'll go a little bit and give you some reference on the narrative of where this came from and why God was dealing with me. I allowed something to take me so off track to the point when I got to work that I was just not angry, but just disturbed. Have you ever been so disturbed because you were mad and just not even mad? I can't even describe it, but it wasn't a place of peace. And after I read that scripture in Hebrews, he said, you need to guard your peace because it is sucking away your faith. This is stuff that you shouldn't even be worried about. If you release these things to me, you need to lay, and in this case, it was a weight. It wasn't a sin. Unnecessary. Things that we give to God, have you ever done this? I can say I have. And you say you give it to him, and sometimes you do, and you go back and pick it back up. That becomes a weight at that point that you pick it back up. And we need to be aware. And this ain't got nothing to do with the devil. This is us. These are our habits. These are the things that we get entrapped with sometimes. We get distracted by living somebody else, trying to live somebody else's life, trying to manage somebody else's life. We do that with our children. Sometimes we do that with our loved ones and things of that nature, and we have to let it go. And he said, you know what? If you really gave that to me, I said I was healing you in that area, but you picked this stuff up, and it was disturbing me to the point where I got to talking about it to people that I was close to, and they all gave me the same advice. Leave that alone and let God deal with that. That has nothing to do with you. So they were confirming everything that God was saying to me. And at that point, I had got so distracted that it took away my focus for my job. I have a very technical job, so you can't be all over the place. I mean, you can if you want to, but it just affects your performance. And it wears you out sooner. So God was saying, you see what's going on? And so he gave me the reference of a plant that grows a vine. Let's just say a pumpkin or tomatoes. Have you ever noticed that many of these vine type of fruit or vegetables, they always have really pretty flowers on them, like pumpkins do and tomatoes, real pretty flowers. Guess what those flowers, don't be deceived by those flowers. Those flowers take away from the fruit. And the fruit will either be really small, hard, or underdeveloped. And that's what he was saying. When you lay those weights and you focus on the wrong thing, it's just like that pumpkin or that tomato. Sometimes you see, you know, the vine is long even, but it's got all these suckers. They call those flowers suckers. Sometimes we focus on things that we think are necessary and should be there, and next thing you know, our fruit is underdeveloped or small or stunted. And so where we could be producing much fruit and good fruit and being consistent, we need to lay aside the weight and the sin that easily besets us. And so once again, I'm in the vein of talking about that weight. And so when we go to the scripture, it's unnecessary weight. And it's things that cleverly entangle us. It gets us off track. It doesn't always say, hey, come over here and do this. No, it's usually things that sometimes we think we're supposed to be handling. But the moment that you get into this place where you're doing stuff in your own strength, you are creating or cultivating a weight in your life. You say you give it to God, or sometimes we don't even know how to give things to God. We begin to give it to God. Why? Because these things are going to take away from your faith. These things are going to make your fruit small. And so God said, I got you on a path. You're maintaining some discipline in some areas, so you are growing. Why are you picking up this for? Why are you dwelling on this? Why are you allowing it to bother you to this degree? And I said, okay, Lord, I get it. He said, you have to guard your peace. So we talk about the sin, and this has to do a lot of times with our habits and things that we do that are ungodly and unrighteous. Even the way we think can sometimes be a sin. To some degree, I would even say this, to think of yourself less than what God says you are is in that sin category, I believe, because there's no way that you can believe God the way you need to believe God, and you don't believe who you are. You don't believe what the word says about you. You don't believe what God has told you about yourself, and you're undermining what God is trying to do. It goes back to your faith. And sometimes we're not aware of that sin. We don't even see that as sin, but it is, because it's out of agreement and out of step with what God is saying. There's a whole nother teaching that I can do about sins, transgressions, and iniquities. And then, I mean, literally, there's probably a series I can do about that, because I really want us to understand what sin is. It's basically just falling away or missing the mark. It's missing the mark. When God is saying go left, you going right. Levels of disobedience, just things. It doesn't always have to do with moral things that people can see, like hurting some, you know, like hurting somebody, or just lying, or in the category of Ten Commandments. It's more than that. It's about where. And to me, when I think about acts of sin, I think about things we do against the heart of God. There are things, and I will say that there are things that I have done that I knew when I did that hurt God. I knew it when I did it, or when I said it, that it hurt God. It hurt his feelings. I didn't do it to hurt God, but the moment that I committed that sin, it hurt him to his core. I could feel it in my own body. And so then there comes repentance. I'm also going to do in the future a series about what repentance really is. Because I think that I know that that gets in the way of our healing sometimes. And sometimes we just need a working definition and a practical definition of what repentance is, and even what sin is. And so what is God saying sin is to you? What is God saying to you where you're falling short, where you're allowing things to get in the way and being easily enticed and lured away into? What is getting in the place where you should be enduring, and you're becoming more weary, and you're becoming more frustrated, and you are wanting to quit? When we read this in the Message Bible, it says, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, and they're talking about those of faith, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on it. We better get on with it. You need to strip down and start running. Never quit. No spiritual fat. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished his race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, the cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you did yourself flagging in your faith, go over, when you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again of what Jesus did, item by item, that long litany of hostility that he plowed through that will shoot adrenaline into your soul. Now, when you read different versions, you have to be able to pick out things that, and highlight the things that God is speaking to you about. And the main thing that I think of is parasitic sin and spiritual fat that they call the weight and the sin that so easily besets you. Some versions say burdens, Some people say entanglement, soul entanglement. Some people say unnecessary burdens, hindrances. Is one of the words that I was having to use, a hindrance. Something's in the way. Something's creating a burden. You know, I also would want to say detours. When you're thinking you're going this way, you take a detour another way. That can be considered a weight too. So you have to expand your thinking about if this is something that's hitting your heart, if this is something that God has been dealing with you about, begin to ask, Lord, is there a weight or a sin that's easily besetting me as it pertains to my faith? Because this is all in context to the witnesses and about faith. Am I laying aside those things? Am I being disciplined to strip them away? Or am I just keeping them in the background just in case? Are these things in my heart that I'm unaware of that will cause me to sin against you and make me weighty and make me hard, you know, think of the example of Christ. That's a great example. What he endured, and you know how I like how the Message Bible says it was just a lot of hostility. He plowed through the hostility. He knew what his assignment was, and he plowed through it. It was a litany of hostility he plowed through. That's how they wrote it. I love that because that's true. Many times, trial after trial after trial after trial can make us weary. And at the end of the day, if those trials are coming, it develops you and makes you stronger in Jesus. It does. It makes you, and whatever area God is sharpening up, that's what needs to happen. But when we look at the example of Christ, he endured all that because he knew who he was and he knew what his assignment was. So what is your assignment tonight? What is your assignment? What is God saying to you about your process? What is God warning you about that you might be getting entangled with when he's saying, you better watch out for that? What sin that nobody sees that you may be or have, you know, committed that's getting in the way of your faith? That's really what I'm saying about. It's not about, oh, look at the sin, magnify the sin. No, what is getting in the way of your faith? What is getting in the way of your faith developing? Is it focused? Are you distracted? Are you distracted by? And this is, I'm not talking about just a one-time thing. I'm talking about consistently. What is consistently taking you out the game? What is consistently making you tired? What is consistently distracting you? What is consistently seducing you? What is consistently, you talking yourself out of something? What is it? What is that weight? What is that sin? That easily, which means the way that I always pay attention to adjectives and conditions and what these words mean, easily besets you. That means it don't take a lot. But you know what? When somebody's tired, it's easy to take. It's like taking candy from a baby. You can just make them look another way and you take it from them. It's easy. It easily gets you off track. Things that have to do with our family a lot of times, sometimes things that have to do with our money, sometimes things that have to do with our job, whatever it is. And for us and for each one of us, it's something different. Sometimes it can be a combination of things that easily beset us. Getting too busy instead of being productive, not being organized, you know, being too, not knowing how to say no, but also not knowing how to say yes. So whatever it is that's getting in the way of your faith, that's where I'm coming from tonight. And I realized when God gave me this a couple of days ago, of course, you can teach this to anyone, these principles, but he's going hard on anything that gets in the way of our faith, y'all. Because the next couple of lessons I'm going to teach, that has to be intact. Your faith has to be intact to be able to not just grasp what I'm teaching, but to really understand, you know, where God's intent and purpose is when it comes to certain things I'm going to be teaching lately. And he was like, you know, the building blocks of our faith need to be intact. And sometimes he's taking us from faith to faith and from glory to glory. He really is. He's diligent. God, I can feel so strong sometimes in certain areas where I said, you know what, this time last year I had no faith in that area, but this time, yes, I have a lot of faith. And I just thank God for that, for maturing me and shoring me up in that area. And then there's other areas where I thought I was good, and then something hits or triggers me, easily triggers me, or easily offends me. That's another thing, the weight and the sin. Offense is one of those weights. Being offended is one of those weights. We can never teach enough about the spirit of offense. And the more mature you get, the less offended you are. Even if it's somebody's meaning to offend you, you don't easily get offended. And I think that when God was showing me that, he said, these are certain things I try to tell you to guard your peace. He had even told me before I engaged in this, I was listening to somebody, and he said, don't answer the phone. I did. And that my whole day was messed up, and I allowed it. I allowed it because God was saying, guard your peace. I didn't guard my peace because it's going to mess up your faith. You can't afford that today. And it's going to make you, you know, distracted while you're on your job today. I didn't listen. And so me not listening to God was really about, in my opinion, about me not trusting God, or me just overlooking what God said to me. And to me, that just really brings me to a place of repentance, because I should listen to God. I trust his word and everything else. So you see how this inner conversation begins when you begin to examine yourself. Today's lesson is about the laying aside the weight and the sin, but it's really about what is going to lead you to examine yourself. What is getting in the way of your faith tonight? What is that weight and sin that easily throws you off track or triggers you or distracts you? What is it? It's not my business. That's between you and God. And that's where I am presenting that to you. And it doesn't matter if I challenge you. The word challenges you by itself. And so that's where I'm coming from tonight. I don't have anything to add to the word or to take away from the word, because I believe that many of us are at different levels of faith. And I also believe that God is saying, I need you to believe this because of what's coming. I need you to already be there. And I need you to also be able to see and strip away anything that's going to get in the way of what I'm trying to get to you as it pertains to your faith and your trust in what I'm doing. Okay? And we can all, you know, open up and just begin to share with each other where God has challenged our faith. But you know what? As more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, that it shouldn't be said that you should be easily beset by a weight and a sin. That just comes with maturity. There will be less and less of that. So I didn't say all this to beat you up or make you feel bad. It's just really to prompt you, if needed, to begin to examine yourself, examine your areas in your soul. You know, sometimes maybe that weight and sin is not being organized and having a messy house or having a messy room. And sometimes for some of us, everything is so regimented that you don't let God in. That's anytime something is off or something in the house don't look right, you get so distracted in that, and then God is trying to woo you away, spend some time with you, but you allow your house, how clean it is or how clean it isn't, to distract you. I'm bringing up these examples to show you it could be in any area, and it can be so crazy and way out that you would never think. God said you can have a house, right? But then you're so distracted by getting a house that you haven't set time and supped with him and spent time with him. And these are the things, to be honest, that build up our faith. Our intimate time with the Lord builds up our faith. Not just saying, okay, I read the word today. Okay, I prayed today. Okay, I fasted today. I checked the box. No. I mean, true rest and intimacy. So what is easily besetting you? The fact that, you know, I got to get a house, and God said I can have a house, and I'm dealing with this, and I'm stressed out. The weight and the sin that easily besets you. Be careful of that, because that stuff can turn into adultery. And that's another, I'm going to do a series on that too, is adultery. What it is, it's called unseen idols. So I'm working on that. But you know what? It's like God loves us so much. And I'm going to begin to wrap this up and say, be encouraged and read. Be encouraged and begin to read the chapter that was before this. And that's in chapter Hebrews 11, when he talks about the great witnesses of faith, those who are men and women of faith all throughout the Word of God, and the things that God dealt with. And you can literally spend probably over a month or two just studying chapter 11 and looking at the cross and cross-referencing it in the Word of their acts of great faith, you know. And I think it's powerful to know that we have a great cloud of witnesses. And then if we look at each one of their examples, those people, they were not perfect. But I'll just think of one came to my mind, Sarah, having Isaac at her age. And you remember how she laughed at God? Because Isaac means laughter. And she laughed at God first before she believed God, right, because of her age. That was her weight, her perception about, I'm too old to have a child. So there was no faith there until that was dealt with. And then she gave birth to Isaac. And we know the story. So whatever is getting in the way of your faith tonight, I pray and trust God that you will just go to him if that's your issue, or begin to pray for others or with others in regards to God trying to get you to level up on your faith. He's dealing with me with that. He was like, this one thing that I was dealing with that day, it was like, we don't have time for anything to steal the momentum that I have you on. You're in a place of being propelled forward, and you dealing with that, and I've already told you to leave that alone, even if it's tender. He said the fact that it's still tender means that we've got things to work on. Nevertheless, don't dwell on it. It'll take you so far off track, you don't remember how you got back to there. And that's all I'm saying. And it's compassion just for the body of Christ to recognize these things that get in our way. Some of these things we think we should be concerned about, like the gas prices and what's going on in Ukraine. And don't get me wrong, we should be concerned about our brothers and sisters in Christ and whatever God, don't get it twisted. Whatever God has told us to pray for, that's what I mean. Be careful of where your motives are coming from as it pertains to that word. Easily throws you off. Easily triggered. Well, you know, that just triggers me. Why are you so easily triggered by that? Is that a weight you're carrying around? Or maybe that has manifested itself into a sin. And so I want to pray and wrap this up, because I really feel and know and believe that God chastises those he loves.
Yes.
And he gives us the word not as a punitive measure, but as a corrective measure. It's a corrective. Now, if this has nothing to do with you, then you're fine. But if it is something that God is dealing with you about where your faith is versus where he wants it to be, lay aside the weight and sin so easily beset you. I'm going to pray. Father God, we thank you for your light. We thank you for your strength and your presence and what it represents in us and what it represents to the world. Thank you, Lord, today that as we begin to pray before you, Lord, in a place of earnestness and total transparency before you about the things that our brothers and sisters, Lord, may be dealing with, that I've dealt with in areas of their soul, and the things, Lord, that produce wrong motives and wrong perceptions about you and the people that we serve and about ourselves. And I just thank you, Lord, today that you begin to shine your light and enlighten our inner man, that we begin to listen to you and that we're not dull in hearing and being receptive and accountable to you and responsive to what you're saying in the scripture. Because for many of us, you could be saying something totally different than based on what I presented. But I thank you, Lord, that at the end of the day, it's your voice, it's your leading, it's your guidance that we should be following, not others. I thank you, Lord, today for giving those courage and strength to come forward and to say, you know, this is the year. I can't wait another year for God to be able to develop my faith. I thank you for giving them strength as well in the inward man, especially those who are in servant leader positions, whether it's in the body of Christ or on their job or wherever you have put them in the marketplace. I just thank you, Father God, that they begin to believe you big, not just for things, but even as it pertains to being agents of change, even as it pertains to being things that are intangible that nobody can see, to come against wrong, to come against division, and to have the nerve, Lord, because you've led them to decide to stand up for what's right and to be able to bring our brothers and sisters together and to come against division in the body of Christ. To come, whatever it may be, I just thank you, Lord, today, and especially for teachers, because I'm hitting that hard in other platforms. But I just thank you, Lord, today for them. And I thank you, Father God, that they rise up and teach every dimension of your mind in your word that needs to be presented and taught in this age that we live in today. I thank you, Lord, today that your boundless love is yet to be released in us as we begin to grow in your faith, Lord, and that we can draw those who don't know you to your heart and to your purpose, and that they will be in true identity through your eyes, and that we will teach them and see them the way that you do too as well. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your word today.
Yes.
And for this ministry. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor Vanessa, you have delivered another yet powerful message. Glory to God. So her teaching brings us to the question, what's weighing you down? What is weighing you down? Well, I come with good news tonight to tell you to cast your cares. You can cast your cares upon Jesus Christ because he loves you. And if you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sin, tonight we would like to invite, the pastor and I would like to invite you not into a church, but into a healthy, loving relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, all you have to do to begin to lay down all of those weights, the weight of sin, the weight of stress, the weights, is simply go to him and confess your sin and just say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin, for I believe that you are the Son of the living God, and that you came and you died and you rose just for me. Now, Lord, I've tried this thing my way, and it just isn't working. So now I want to turn my life over to your lordship, over to your leadership, so that you can help me to become all that you want me to become in you. I pray this and all other things in your son Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with us, hallelujah, then we would like to say, be the first to say, welcome to the family of God. It is our fervent prayer that you connect yourself with a Christ teaching, Christ-centered church of local believers where you can be taught and brought up with like-minded people. We pray that you will study to show yourselves approved so that you can know what God says for yourself. And we pray that you will continue to walk with us here on the Spirit Alive Network because we do all things with your transformation in mind. Now, we do have wonderful folks sitting in the studio tonight. So if anybody has a comment, a question you would like to touch and agree, please press your 1 on your keypad, and I will bring you into the discussion. We do have two sisters here from the Sisterhood of Spirit Alive. We have Evangelist Michelle Scott and Minister Kimberly Lofton here. So I'm going to give them an opportunity to have a word if they would like. Evangelist Michelle, hallelujah. Come on in the room below.
God bless you. And I just want to say that Pastor Carver, you have truly blessed my soul on tonight. You brought that message, that lesson with such power.
Yes.
And I'm thankful. I'm so thankful because I was just talking to my husband today about this issue and a weight, a specific weight in my life that I've been going through. You know, and a lot of people, the first thing they want to do is blame everything on the devil. Well, no, we can't give him that much credit for the things that happened in our life. Because have to be hold ourselves accountable for the things that we're doing, the sins that we are doing, you know, the unfocus and the unfaith and the things that we are doing ourselves. You know, you brought it straight forward and you pierced me, you know. And if the message rolls down your lane, you got to claim it. And I'm claiming it right now because this is something that I've truly been going through. I even spoke with Bishop about some things, you know, and we have to let things go. You talked about the weights and things that we carry, the baggage from years gone past and situations gone past. Yeah, life is hard. But in order to get to the next level and to serve God wholeheartedly, we have to have a clear mind. We have to let go of all this. And I'm so glad that you shared this message. And I know you blessed me, and I'm sure you blessed many others. And I just thank God for placing it on your heart to share it with us. So God bless you, and continued blessings and strength and life to you. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right. We got to get to the next level. Exactly. And that's what God's really saying. Now.
That's what he's saying. Right now. Not two years from now. Not I'm going
right.
I tell people, you know, you know, all of our good intentions, all of our you know, promises, all of that, it will not get the job done. We must stand up, be accountable, you know, get out of our comfort zones, lay all that mess down that we don't need and keep it moving. But see, I think people hang on to those weights because they use them as an excuse. Oh, I couldn't do that. I can't go there. Lord, you know I'm going through this, Jesus. You know, so we have to really look at, like my sister said, are these weights that's being imposed upon us, or are these weights that we're imposing upon ourselves, that we are using to carry around? You know, God has delivered so many people from so many things, but they still, and even though he has delivered them, they still keep going back to the cross and picking those weights up.
Amen.
If you want God to heal you, first of all, if you want to overcome, you have to want to overcome. You are going to have to want to lay down those weights. So, you know, come out of your excuses. And I'm saying this with much love, because you know somebody's listening to the sound of my voice right now. They know, you really know deep down in your heart that you make everything about your weights and not your victory. You make everything about your problems and not your abundance. You make everything about what you lack instead of what you have. So it's time for us to come up a little higher. Matter of fact, it's time for us to come up a whole lot higher. Hallelujah, so that we can glorify God in the way that he needs us to. Sister Kimberly, would you like to have a word tonight? Okay, amen. We're going to move right along then. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we just praise God for the message and for the messenger and for all of you who tuned in on tonight. I just pray that you will go back and listen to these teachings and really, because they're so full, chock full of such good nuggets. It'll probably take you several times to listen to it just to really get all of the meat out of it. So go back and listen to these teachings and really pray about what you hear, because we truly want you to live an abundant life in Christ right now. So on behalf of myself, Bishop Shalene Cook, the beautiful pastor and prophetess, Vanessa Carver, my dear sister, Evangelist Michelle Scott, we as sisters pray that you prosper as your soul prospers. We pray that you continue to study and learn the ways of God, and that you will go out and share all that you have learned as God commanded. So we pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. God bless you and good night. From all of us here at the Spirit Alive Ministries Network, good night and God bless. Good night, beautiful pastor. Good night, my beautiful sister.
Good night.
Good night.
And
I love you.
Much love.
One love.